in English first. Let's start. And the Barnabas and the Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Now they were in the church at Antioch, prophets and the teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, a lifelong friend of Herod, the and the Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and the fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Well, they arrived in Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them.
好，我们一起来读中文。巴拿巴和扫罗办完了他们供给的事，就从耶路撒冷回来，带着称呼马可的约翰同去，在安提阿的教会中有几位先知和教师。 就是巴拿巴和称呼尼杰的西面，古利奈人路求与分封之王希律同养的马念并扫罗，他们侍奉主进食的时候，圣灵说要为我分派巴拿巴和扫罗去做我照他们所做的工，于是进食祷告，按手在他们头上。 就打发他们去了，他们既被圣灵差遣，就下到西流基，从那里坐船往塞浦路斯去，到了萨拉米，就在犹太人会堂里传讲上帝的道，也有约翰做他们的帮手。Amen.
Pastor, please.
Let's read the Hadberg Catechism, question 116. We first read English, then we read Mandarin. So, 我们会先读英文，再读中文, huh? Hadberg Catechism 116. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for this gift and thank Him for them. 为什么基督徒需要祷告? 因为上帝要求我们感恩，而祷告就是感恩中最主要的一部分。 而且上帝只将他的恩典和圣灵给那些不住的诚恳向他祈求并感恩的人。Okay, we have several announcements before we listen to Pastor Chris's sixth sermon. 我们可以把那个 PPT 转过来啊。第一个是给中文的啊。 如果你想读中文字幕，因为我们今天没有中文的翻译，如果你读不懂、读不太懂中文，它有一个字幕啊。如果你读不太懂中文的话，后面还有两到三个翻译器，可以给你。那我们在这里的人，我们都可以读这个字幕，你也可以扫描这个二维码。 它会显现在你的手机上，那个字幕，就是给现场的。如果你是在线上的，我们的 Zoom 已经设置了这个中文的翻译，师母会为你们翻译。好的，那么我们今天是庆祝我们的英文崇拜一周年，所以我们请到了Pastor Chris Six。 他是 One Voice Fellowship 的牧师，他们是一个多元种族文化的教会，所以我们 来欢迎这个 Pastor Six 来为我们分享上帝的话语。We welcome Pastor Six to preach for us.
You can go back one, brother. Yeah. Good morning. It's great to be with you today. Is that what that says?
Yes.
Good. It's working. Today we are going to look at the book of Acts together. And Acts is a record by Luke recording how the apostles fulfilled the commands of Jesus. And Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so we see in Acts chapter 1 through 7 that the apostles preached the gospel in Jerusalem, and there thousands of people trusted in Christ. And then in chapters 8 to 12, Luke reports on the expansion of the gospel to all of Judea and to Samaria. But it was the city of Antioch where the global missionary work really began. And so we already heard God's word, let me pray together, okay? Father, thank you for sending your son to earth to save us. And Jesus, I thank you. You did not choose followers from only one nation or one culture. God, you do not discriminate. You save people from every culture and language and tribe. And so, Holy Spirit, would you teach us today from the word? Would you humble us and encourage us and use everyone in this room as gospel messengers to a humble, broken, and needy world? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 25 reminds us that Barnabas and Saul were sent to Jerusalem. They came to deliver financial gifts from the Gentile believers in Antioch. So the believers in Antioch sent money to Jerusalem to help because of a coming famine. So the church of Antioch was generous. And it was an outward-looking church. Antioch was a huge city, 500,000 people in Antioch. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. And Antioch had a mixture of Arabs and Romans and Greeks and Jews. And it was a wealthy city. There were lots of people in this city who chased after money and power and pleasure. And Antioch was the city where people were first called Christians. Antioch was the perfect place to begin the expansion of the gospel to the ends of the earth. So is this working okay? Should I move?
You can.
Can
move
I move?
Here.
Yeah, would that be better? All right. Now I'm not on Zoom, but people can see me. You all can see me, right?
Yeah,
all right.
Absolutely.
How about this microphone? All right. Is that good?
Yes.
Is this working good enough? Okay. So, Antioch was the perfect place to begin the expansion of the gospel to the ends of the earth because the members and the leaders of that church, they were as diverse as the city of Antioch. Luke says in Acts 13:1, the leaders of the church in Antioch included these five men. I want to tell you about these five men. So Barnabas was a man from Cyprus. It's an island in the Mediterranean. And Barnabas was a trusted bicultural leader. He was a man of two cultures. He was the man that Jerusalem, the church in Jerusalem, sent him to Antioch. He went there to investigate reports that the Gentiles were becoming Christians. And then Barnabas recruited Saul to come help him in Antioch. The next man that Luke mentions is Simeon Niger. And Niger is a Latin word that means black. So we know that Simeon was a black man from Africa. Some historians believe he was from Ethiopia. So it's possible that Simeon learned about Jesus from the Ethiopian eunuch that we meet in Acts chapter 8. And there was another African man as a leader in Antioch. His name was Lucius, and he was from Cyrene in North Africa. Today, that's the country of Libya. Okay? Cyrene was a large Roman and Greek city. And Luke tells us in Acts 11, verse 20, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch, and they began to speak to the Greeks, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. So it's possible that Lucius is one of those same evangelists who brought the good news to Antioch. And now this Lucius is an elder in their church. Now, Manaen is the next leader. He's very interesting. Manaen is from Edom, down here, south of the Dead Sea. Manaen was the stepbrother of Herod Antipas. Now, you may know there's a few Herods in the Bible. So let me explain who this is. Herod the Great, he was a puppet king. He ruled over Israel, but he was ruled by Rome. And Herod the Great is the one who was threatened by the prophecies of the birth of Jesus. So Herod the Great killed all the baby boys in Bethlehem. And when Herod the Great died, his kingdom was divided among his four sons. And the Herod in today's text, he's called Herod the Tetrarch because he ruled over one-fourth of his father's kingdom. So Herod the Tetrarch. Herod the Tetrarch divorced his wife and married his sister-in-law. Yeah, it's crazy. And when John the Baptist condemned this sin, Herod put him in jail. In Matthew 14:10, we read that Herod ordered the head of John the Baptist to be cut off. And this Herod, he's the one who laughed at Jesus before his crucifixion. This Herod approved of his death. Okay? Now, Manaen is his stepbrother. Manaen is his stepbrother. So think about that. In Acts 12, we read, Luke tells us Manaen was an elder in the church of Antioch. That's all he says. But everybody knew who Manaen was. Everybody knew Manaen grew up in the house of Herod the Great, who murdered babies, trying to kill baby Jesus. And Manaen's stepbrother helped to murder Jesus. So Manaen grew up surrounded by wealth and power and evil men. He grew up a lot like Moses, right? Moses and Manaen grew up in kings' palaces. They both had stepbrothers that were not good guys. But Moses and Manaen took very different paths than the stepbrothers, the men they grew up with. Moses and Manaen were both redeemed by God and were used by God in powerful ways. Now, Manaen is not the only story of amazing grace in these church leaders. There was Saul, who was Jewish, but he was also a Roman citizen from Tarsus up here in modern day Turkey. And in Jerusalem, Saul was leading the persecution, the arrest, the imprisonment of the first followers of Jesus. The believers ran for their lives to escape Herod and to escape from Saul. And so some of those refugees went from Jerusalem to Antioch, and they were preaching the good news. And they hoped they would never see Saul again. They were running away from Saul. And in Acts 9, what happens? Saul becomes a follower of Jesus. The wolf, who wanted to destroy the flock of Christ, became a sheep. And he ends up in Antioch, Saul, in a church that was started by refugees chased out of Jerusalem by Saul and Herod. So this is what I don't want you to miss, my friends. Saul and Manaen's stepbrother are the reasons why Christians came to Antioch. And now Saul and Manaen are leaders of the church in Antioch. Friends, if God can do that kind of reversal in the life of Manaen and Saul, if he can turn their lives around, imagine what he can do in your life. Imagine what he could do in your life. Friends, the gospel is all about how God reverses the curse of sin and death. He replaces ashes with beauty. He replaces tears with joy. The gospel is good news because no one is too far away from God to be saved by God. And the only thing you need to do as admit you need saving. God did not save Moses or Manaen because they were better than Pharaoh or Herod. God did not save Saul because he was smart or because he was obedient. Friends, God saves sinners. God saves sinners. That's the gospel in just three words. God saves sinners. Anyone who admits that they cannot obey God's law perfectly is already on the path of salvation. Saul wrote this in Romans 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, or Chinese and Caucasian, or black and white. There's no difference. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Everyone, friends, everyone and anyone will be saved if they trust in Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. And the church of Antioch was a city full of people who had done that. There were Jews and Gentiles, Africans and Arabs, Greeks and Romans. And there were brothers and sisters who had different color of skin. They spoke different languages. They had different customs. Some of them grew up in dry deserts. Some were from islands of green. Some of them were wealthy, and some of them were poor. And these church members in Antioch represented the whole variety of people in the Roman Empire. So isn't it wonderful that the church leadership was also from many different places? These were leaders from the world who wanted the gospel to go out to the world. And this is why Antioch, not Jerusalem, it was Antioch that sent Barnabas and Saul out to plant churches. Because these guys could say to anyone, I have a message of good news for you. And no one could say, oh, that's a Jewish religion. No one could say, oh, that's a Jewish religion. Because the leaders and the congregation of Antioch included Gentiles, Greeks, Romans. What I'm saying is the diverse membership of the church in Antioch gave credibility to the gospel message. They could honestly say the good news is for everyone. And it was this multicultural DNA of the church in Antioch, and it spread to all the churches they planted. Years later, Paul writes this to the church in Colossae, the church that he started there, Colossians 3:11. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, no barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So this sending and going, sending and going is supposed to be the part, the work of every church. But many churches eventually turn their focus inward. Many churches stop reaching out. They start investing only in internal ministries. But friends, we must remember the church does not exist to provide us with services. We're not here to create an organization. We're not here to construct buildings and run programs. The church exists to worship the living God and proclaim the gospel to a lost and dying world. And that's why the church of Antioch didn't keep their best leaders for themselves. They sent Barnabas and Saul out to plant new churches. And because of Saul's diverse background, he was passionate about taking the gospel to different cities and people groups. Listen to what Saul wrote in Romans 15:20. He said, I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. So we are grateful for the partnership we have with the Chinese Christian Church of Virginia, in Falls Church, Vienna, Springfield. We're grateful for this partnership. And would you pray that all of our churches would be more like the Church of Antioch? Because there are so many people in the DC area who've not heard the gospel yet. And God loves to do big things, through churches that are devoted to learning, worshiping, and praying, like the church in Antioch. In the text we heard in verse 25, Luke reports to us, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Did you hear that? Barnabas and Saul taught these young Christians for a year. And I'm sure they met more than once a week. Because if you really want to grow as a Christian, you need to be in God's word frequently. You need to be in Christian fellowship. You need to be learning and encouraging and praying together. That's the way we grow vertically with God and horizontally with each other. The church in Antioch was learning about God's heart for all people, during that year of training. They had Barnabas and Saul training them for a whole year. And they were so hungry. They wanted to know God's will. And then they were eager to do God's will. And they understood that they couldn't do God's will without God's power. Verses 2 and 3, it says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. And after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So notice that it was the Holy Spirit who chose Barnabas and Saul. They had an internal spiritual call from the Holy Spirit before the church confirmed the call. And the same is true for you and me. So I have a question. Have you ever felt the stirring of the Holy Spirit in your heart and mind? As you think about these things, do you have a desire, brothers and sisters, do you have a desire to help the lost find Jesus, to serve his church? If you do, then I hope you'll share those thoughts and dreams and those fears with people you trust and pray with them. Ask the Lord if he might be calling you to some new gospel work. Because it was while they were fasting and praying, the Spirit spoke to the believers in Antioch. And when it was time to send Barnabas and Saul out, they fasted and prayed again. Because prayer is a confession that we can't do anything for God by ourselves. Praying and fasting remind us we need the hand of God to do what the voice of God commands. Now, when the Church of Antioch sends out their church planters, they know planting churches will be a waste of time if God's hand is not with them. That's why they pray. So now I want to look at our last two verses in Acts 13, 4 and 5. The two of them, Barnabas and Saul, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia, and sailed from there to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. And John was with them as their helper. Friends, there's a huge world out there that needs to hear the gospel. If you were Barnabas and Saul, where would you begin? Where would you start in the whole world? Barnabas and Saul went first to the home of Barnabas. First, they went to the home of Barnabas, the island of Cyprus. And think about how God was working. I want to think about Barnabas, how God worked in the life of this one man. First, our sovereign, loving God moved Barnabas from Cyprus to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, this Jewish immigrant, this bicultural man from Cyprus, he hears the gospel when he's in Jerusalem. And this immigrant man becomes a follower of Jesus. And then God sent Barnabas to Antioch. And there he grew as a teacher and a pastor. And now it's time for this mature Christian leader to go back into the world. And the Lord sends him as a messenger back to his own homeland, back to Cyprus. So I want to ask you, friends, if you would ask the Lord to show you where you are today. Where are you today? Maybe you're like Barnabas when he first lived in Cyprus. He was seeking the truth, but he was not converted yet. He was not a follower of Jesus. Maybe some of you are like Barnabas, the new believer, when he was in Jerusalem and he was growing in his knowledge of the gospel. Or maybe some of you have more experience Maybe you're learning how to teach. Maybe you're learning how to share the gospel. Or maybe God is calling you, like Barnabas, to go somewhere else and proclaim the gospel news to other people. To reach the world with the gospel, we need to help each other on this spiritual journey. And we need a vision of discipleship that's going to help people of every nation reach people from every nation. Right now, I'm praying that One Voice will one day send a Pakistani Christian back to Pakistan as a missionary. This is a picture of our church family from our retreat. Imagine if one of these Pakistani teenagers in our church, what if one day he goes back to Pakistan, right? He already speaks the language. He already understands the culture. That boy would be an effective gospel messenger from day one. I know a church in Australia where this same thing happened. There was a young man from Nepal who became a believer in Australia. And after 5 years of discipleship, the Australian church sent him where? To his own village in Nepal. He walked into his hometown and became a messenger of hope to his own people, just as Barnabas was to Cyprus. You can see on this slide, this next slide, all the unreached people groups. There's 3 billion people on this chart. And the ones circled in green, all the people groups at One Voice right now. What if the Lord raised up some of these people to go back to their home countries, to Bangladesh, to Indonesia, to Pakistan, to Turkey, to share the good news? Think of the impact that God could have if these immigrants to the U.S. went back home with the gospel. So I don't know what God has planned for our church or for your church. But at our church, we love to dream about what God might do. If we take the opportunity to disciple the next generation of missionaries and send them to countries like these. So let's pray our churches will be sending churches like the Church of Antioch. Friends, today's scripture is an invitation from God to join him in spreading the gospel to all nations, all people. And some of you will be called to go. And some of you will be called to be more deliberate here, to be more courageous reaching the lost here in Northern Virginia, in your school, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, maybe with your own family, to share the gospel. Some of you will be called to give, to support others. And everyone is called to invest in this gospel work with our prayers. We pray because these are things only the Lord can do by the power of the Holy Spirit as he applies the word to the hearts of the lost. So let's pray together now. Jesus, would you please help us see that we are not the people of God because of our righteousness or our nationality or our family background. We were all strangers walking in darkness, but you called each one of us into your marvelous light. We know that God can bring anyone into his kingdom, anyone who confesses their need for the cleansing blood of Jesus. And there are billions of people out there who need to hear this good news of the gospel. We want to be a part of what you're doing. We want to be ready to send or to go when the Spirit calls us. Help us do our small part here, King Jesus. For your glory, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Six, for your message. Please rise. We'll sing the responding psalm, hymn book.